But I'm never off. Always on till the break of dawn. C-O-M-P-T-O-N in the city they call Long Beach.
Putting that shit together. Like my homie D-O-C.
No one can do it better.
Got her. Welcome to our Film Fathers podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me, as always, are three guys who drink warm milk: Redding, Martin, and Brady.
Hey, up yours with a twirling lawnmower.
I grab the guy in my dream. You see me struggling, so you wake me up. We both come out, you whack the fucker, and we got him.
Did you know that after the heart stops beating, the brain keeps functioning for well over 7 minutes? We got six more minutes to play.
This week, we begin our annual month of horror with Redding's Revenge this year. Part one this week will focus on one of the OGs in the horror game, Nightmare on Elm Street. We watch the initial introduction of Freddy Krueger as well as the 2010 remake that redefined his origin. A lot has changed in the 26 years between movies. Was everything for the better? Was anything?
Welcome, Redding.
Oh, thank you guys for having me back.
Welcome back.
He's back.
Always happy to be back. Yeah, to be back in October.
October Redding.
My favorite
yes.
month.
Yes, yes. I know Martin looks forward to it.
I was planning this like 2 months out. I'm like, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, after last year, I'm like, I'm going to let Martin pick the movies this time since I don't know how well my movies went over last year.
It was an experience.
Yeah, we did what? Evil Dead's at the end.
Yeah, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
What was the one that was newer in the basement of the house?
Barbarian.
That was good.
That was not October. We did that.
Oh, that like, really?
But later on.
Because we did Barbarian and Redding, Don't Breathe, right?
Redux.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Don't Breathe 2, didn't we?
No. No, I don't think we did the same
Don't
one.
Breathe
one.
And
Barbarian.
And Barbarian.
Yeah.
Still love Barbarian.
Yeah.
I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was good. That's crazy. That's all I got.
Crazy inbred lady in the basement. Yeah. Great stuff.
So I just want to say this off the top. Redding, thank you for being on the pod. I hate these fucking movies.
I knew that. So, I knew that you did.
Like,
Jelani.
Like hate them as in you don't think, you don't see any redeeming qualities, or they scare you so you don't like them, or they freak you out.
So
like,
when I was younger, they terrified me, and I never wanted anything to do with them. So, not to anybody's surprise, I have never seen these movies.
Me neither.
And I will give the new one some respect. Because it was way better than the first one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I don't know
if I'm going to agree with you there.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
I have a question for specifically you two, Martin and Redding, but also, I don't want
to just
kill
in general, just like, I don't see the redeeming quality of these films.
Okay. So, this, perfect. Because this leads into my question. And this was something I wanted to, I guess I maybe have asked or haven't. In general.
I'm scared.
How do you determine? I want to say this the right way, right? Like, what makes a successful to you a good / successful horror movie? Is it like that the quality of the movie is good? Because I think that's where Jelani and I have a lot of hangups typically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is it one that like you just find legitimately scary throughout? Or you just like maybe good types of scares. Oh, clever. This is a clever way of doing this. Like you, you two, Martin and Redding, I would say, I would trust as not only our resident experts, but in my world, the people I would trust as experts in this genre specifically. So I'm generally curious, and maybe there's no one answer, right?
You touched on, I think, a few of the big points.
I don't think it's one thing that I look for. In like a good horror movie, like some of them I do, like depending on the atmosphere, I want to be kind of creeped out or, you know, scared or whatever. But then in ones like this, I just want to kind of have a good time. Like I want to, you know, see the kills and, you know, not necessarily worrying about good acting, clearly.
definitely not good acting. You said quality of the movie. Like, it definitely, sometimes if it looks shittier, it's almost a better movie.
Which I feel like you may have said to me before.
Yeah,
like,
we've talked about with the Evil Dead's for sure. Like, they don't
look
great.
Those just struck me as pure awful. Like,
right. And these, and I don't love Evil Dead as much as some horror fans do, but these I do love. And I loved them since I was a kid. They were like my first love of any type of movie, and it was mainly because I was just fascinated with the lore. I think I saw the fourth one first, which is, you know, weird to start.
They get a lot
well, but
weirder
by age
too.
You weren't watched.
I was young.
You weren't right. This wasn't gonna.
I was still young. I watched it when I was like nine.
Oh, I think I was like six. Yeah, 5 or 6.
But that was probably closer.
I saw
new.
The first one.
It was new. Yes,
at my cousins. Yeah, my cousins were all older, and we were all at their house for a party, and like all the kids were in the front room. And this came on TV, and my cousins are like, oh, let's watch this. And here I am, like, you know, 7 years old watching it. Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But
which one? The first one.
The very first one, But I'll never forget that. Yeah. Like, I can picture all of it exactly.
And that's where I think Jelani and I, obviously, like we said, first-time watchers, so we don't have any nostalgia play. But also, I'd like to think that had I seen it previously, I would also just recognize that it sucks.
So we're talking about 1984,
The original Nightmare on Elm Street.
And I mean, clearly, I don't want to say you guys are wrong, but clearly the world loved this movie. I mean, they made a sequel right away, and then they made 3, 4, and 5, which are arguably, I think, really good. Ready,
No, I mean, Freddy comes into like kind of what everybody knew of him.
Mm-hmm. They made a TV show.
Right, yeah. He's a little more like
a TV
quippy.
Show.
It was called Freddy's Nightmares?
Or something like that. Yeah. I think it was Freddy's Nightmares.
But it was like he wasn't, I don't think he was in all of them, but it was like stories about Elm Street or something like that.
Kind of like the Friday the 13th.
Yes. It was like an anthology. More like an anthology show.
It's like
show.
Twilight Zone for horror.
So it was it was a phenomenon for sure. Freddy was a phenomenon. And the Will Smith song. Nightmare on My Street.
Nightmare on My Street, which he sampled.
Yeah, he got sued for because they didn't give New Line Cinema did not give permission.
Well, I saw something saying that New Line was saved from bankruptcy from the success of this film and was jokingly nicknamed the house that Freddy built.
I mean, which 1,000%.
I definitely didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've seen, because of these movies, I know what New Line Cinema is. I wouldn't have known probably otherwise. Yeah. But I think the first one, so like I said, I saw the fourth one maybe first, went back to the other ones, and went back to this one, and I loved it the first time I saw it. I thought it was, pretty.
You loved
pretty
what?
Low key brilliant. Nightmare on Elm Street, 1984.
84 version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Wes Craven movies too. Like, I remember People Under the Stairs. I think I talked about that last year when we did our dad draft.
Have you seen Last House on the Left?
I've seen the original. And then the remake. But the original is, that's a rough one.
I don't think I can watch it again.
Yeah.
I watched it once. And
all right, out.
But,
you guys would definitely be out. And it's got the whole, that's where I think this one's successful, because Last House on the Left is a lot of like tortury stuff, and it was also looked kind of shitty because it was an early Wes Craven movie. But this one, they upped the production a little bit. I know you guys don't think so, but they definitely upped the production for what he was used to doing. And they, you know, they talk about him being a child murderer. She said the word molester, but she doesn't. She says murderer.
No. Yeah. There's actually
killed like 20 kids.
Killed
there's a thing
kids.
In here. I guess there was something that happened in California.
Yep.
They decided to change it from child molester.
That was
to child
and that's
murderer.
What I think made it popular.
The origin story was that's what it was, that there was more of that involved in it. But like you said, there was some incident that happened around the time of the release or close to it when they were making it, and they were like, "We can't do that."
Yeah, we can't exactly. So I
but
think
then
that's
they
what,
switch it up for the remake.
For
they
the remake,
it back
yeah,
to
which
what
which
they
is why
had.
I kind of like the remake too, because it does give you that added element, which is totally disgusting, because I didn't really think of Freddy in that way, but that's the way he was probably meant to be in Wes Craven's mind in the first place.
Yes, and I think that's what it was. But also, like, once you get into, you know, 3, 4, and 5, they start to explore a little bit more of Freddy's backstory.
Yeah,
like his mother.
Yeah,
and all of that stuff, and like
being a nun.
Yes, and. Essentially being raped by 1,000 maniacs. And so, like, they kind of get into that. And then in the remake, they touch on it a little bit. Like, they try to fill in his backstory a lot more. Like, after I watched the original one, like, 2 months ago just because I wanted to watch it again.
Yeah, because everybody watches it every couple months.
I watch it a couple times a year. But then when you guys are like, all right, we're going to do these again, I'm like, all right. So I watched that one. I'm gonna watch the remake again, and then I'll rewatch the 84 one again after, so I can kind of see more of a side-by-side.
Yeah.
And
I love the dedication, Redding. Very good. Very nice.
I mean, you know, I watch this stuff.
You did your prep
all the time. But yeah, I mean, they took, you know, a lot of the in the original. I forgot how little backstory there actually was of Freddy.
Oh,
it's like just that one scene where they go downstairs
in the basement.
And it's like, oh, I got his glove, and he was a murderer, and we killed him. Oh, okay. And, like, there's no flashbacks, there's nothing, where in the remake, they dive into that.
Well, to that point, as I was watching it, I was like, why is Freddy trying to kill all these people? Like, I didn't understand the genesis until that scene. Like, you're just like, he's hunting all these kids down, and he's killing them. And I'm like, for what? What was the reason behind this? And then you...
Well, right. I think it's partly because of the way the movie starts, right? Like, they jump right into, essentially, a nightmare. And I was like, oh, so Freddy's a master welder?
Like, right. What's with the steam pipes and
right, boiler rooms? Obviously not knowing anything, I'm like, right. I'm starting blind. And I'm like, all right, piece of this together as I go. Literally, I think I had a note. I was like, so he created his whole persona while already in the middle of hunting this lady down? I'm like, because, you know, I wasn't at the time grasping that she was in this nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, and I... Contributing to why I think maybe I perceive them a lot of times as not being great qualities of movies. One, I don't think they generally are, but I just don't think that matters. I think facets are intriguing in people like that. So it's like, whatever. The quality of the movie is kind of irrelevant.
Right.
If it's good, I guess great. But if not, whatever. Sometimes even maybe the campier the better.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But it, there's a fine line there too. Like, you can get too far.
Well, and I so
campy and
I was curious. I you know why I'm watching this movie, and obviously Johnny Depp is a name that we all know now. And in 1984 was his first movie, right? So he, you know, it was nobody. But I was like, why are there always nobodies in all these movies? They're rarely ever people that you know, and that's changed a little bit here over the last probably like 10 years.
I mean, Heather Langenkamp was in a TV show called Just the Ten of Us, I believe. If you guys remember that.
Vaguely.
Nope, nobody.
Yeah.
I feel like I probably saw it.
Yeah, you probably watched it.
Although rewatching 84, I'm not sure how she got much work after the original.
I don't remember her being as bad as this rewatch.
It's
she was very bad.
She was very bad. Very bad actress, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think she was like 16 or something, like when she got the part.
No excuse. Step your game up.
She beat out like a ton of people we know too. Like,
yeah,
she was picked over a lot of people that went on to have much more successful careers.
Patricia Arquette, who showed up in the later ones.
She did.
Like, it was like Demi Moore.
Oh wow.
I mean, it was kind of a who's who of that in that 84 or 83, you know, time frame. But I was just like, and was Robert Englund, was that a person that people knew at the time?
I believe he was like, he had some other
Englund who was cast as Freddy.
Yeah.
Or Fred.
Anyone listening to this pod probably knows that.
Probably. I wouldn't have known that name if you had just told me that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. If you were like, do you know who Robert Englund is? I'm like, no.
No, if you don't know Nightmare on Elm Street, there's reason for you to know. He doesn't.
But he's
he does some other
historic character. I mean, that's
exactly. Despite, you know, the character,
right? We all know who Freddy is, but I would not have known that name. Would you, Jelani?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not surprising.
He's known to stay away from
it. Right. I avoid. You know, I've seen him outside of the Freddy makeup and things like that. And
just the ten of us.
He still looks creepy. Very good. He still looks creepy, right?
Yeah, he's still a creepy dude.
Yeah. I mean, he still looks like Freddy.
Yeah.
You can't un-Freddy him.
But to kind of answer your question of what we like about the horror movies in general, but more specifically this movie, the whole concept of the dream, like not knowing when you're in the dream or when you're in reality, they do it a few times, and they do it a lot more in the other subsequent movies.
Yeah.
And they're just very interesting. You know, like the Saw movies touch on this too. Like, just interesting ways to die, interesting ways that they kill. They do it in Friday the 13th too. That's the reason why you can keep going, because it's like, oh, now he did it with a lawnmower. Right. Or he does it with a, you know, a different kind of
thing. They start getting really creative with it in 3. Yeah.
Right. Scenes and heads through televisions and, you know, all the kind of stuff. So, but I think the dream sequence is a big, that's where this movie's influential for other horror movies where you don't know if somebody's just in a nightmare and they have like the jump scare of them waking up and it's like, oh, that was just a dream sequence. And this, I think, I don't know if it invented it, but obviously in the horror movie, it was a huge part, a huge influential piece.
I believe it was actually invented in The Simpsons, in the Treehouse of Horror.
Did it.
Yeah. Well, I also like the dream aspect because it lets them play with reality more, right? So like, it's not like a Conjuring movie, you know, that we were kind of just talking about before. They try to set those in real scenarios. Yeah, there's supernatural aspects to it and whatever, but, you know, there's not blood shooting out of the bed to the ceiling. There's not a girl, you know, getting slashed apart while she's, you know, climbing on the ceiling and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it adds that different element to it that these other horror movies don't have.
Right.
Because they're trying to set them in, you know, reality to make them scarier in that way.
To that point, can we talk about how Freddy's powers were not consistent?
No, not at all.
They never are, right? Like, you never can.
At one point, he's walking through jail walls and then gets stopped by a garbage can. Like, I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, I thought he could teleport.
Right.
Yeah. It really wasn't.
Yes.
Which,
he definitely did.
Stop by which garbage can?
When he's chasing her through the yard, alley. She throws the garbage can and he has to, like, move it out of the way.
No, not this obstacle.
That's true.
Wasn't it in a dream?
Right?
Yeah. So it's like, this is Freddy's world.
Then he has to dive through like the bedroom door to get her. And it's like, you could have just phased through the door. Yeah. Like, just walk through.
There doesn't seem to be anything that can stop you.
The sledgehammer, but that's when he was pulled out, you know? The other thing is,
right? Like, even when he's out, it's like, all right, he's on fire in the basement. And, oh, now he's upstairs on top of the mom. Like,
just, I had another. So Tina was only 15?
I mean, they never have young actresses. And
what was, I mean, were we looking at statutory?
Well, I think he's only supposed to be,
he's still in high school. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, Johnny Depp's got to be at least 16. He's driving that car.
He is. I'm just saying, the girls, I think, were on the young side. And well, they didn't need to be.
Johnny Depp looked like he was 12.
They could have just called him 17.
Johnny Depp definitely looked very young.
Well, I mean, for us, obviously, for sure.
Well, yeah.
He looked like Captain Jack.
There's also just a lot of, I mean, the kid went to school the next day? Like,
you sound like her dad.
I mean, guilty, I guess. I was just like, I mean,
it was the 80s. These are latchkey kids, you know?
Oh, and when she, like,
feels some pain.
And when she freaked out in school, and she's, like, gathering her stuff up, and the teacher's like, oh, you know, go to the nurse. She's like, oh, I'll just go straight home. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's nobody stopping a kid from just leaving the school?
Not in 84.
There's no door monitors or anything.
That was pre, like, the kids who got kidnapped and, you know, America's Most Wanted. Right. And
Gen X is a tougher generation, man.
No social media. You didn't have to know what everything was going on. But that
Nancy's best friend gets slaughtered, and she
brutally
goes to school the next day, sees Tina, then has a run-in and just leaves school, then almost drowns later, says she's fine.
Oh, yeah.
And then
locks
watches
the door back up.
And then watches a scary movie.
Evil Dead.
Yes, you watched Evil Dead. Yes.
No.
It was Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2 wasn't out yet. But
no, it was Evil Dead.
Oh, is he just
Evil Dead? Yeah. I think Evil Dead 2 was 87.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. I think that was wild that it was Evil Dead. That's a nice little connection. I didn't notice that before.
And also in Evil Dead 2, Freddy's glove is hanging in the shed.
Oh, no
in
shit.
In the cabin, yeah.
I would think you'd maybe avoid the scary movies if you're a day removed from a bloodbath.
I love when she pulls out, when she's like, okay, I'm just going to go to sleep now. And her mom takes the coffee pot, and then she pulls out the second.
Yeah, the coffee maker.
Mr. Coffee Maker's already plugged in, pours herself a cup before she goes on her survival tactic. I don't know. I do. I love this movie. I think there's the part where he's going down, or where she's running up the stairs, and it just turns into marshmallow fluff.
Oh, and you can clearly see all of the spots on the stairs where it's going to
be soft.
Yeah.
I also, look, Jelani, to your point earlier, setting up a tripwire.
Was this Home Alone?
That seems flawed for a guy who could walk
right
through them.
She read that book while they were eating lunch.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And all Johnny Depp had to do was stay awake. He couldn't do that. No, he was watching Miss Nude America.
Yeah.
With his headphones on playing his records.
So on his headphones, you see how it had his name? Yep. Did you guys ever have that tape gun?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
The label maker? The old school label maker?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I fucking love that. Go and just label all kinds of shit. You're just like, whatever.
A raised lettering.
Exactly.
Yeah, the black on the white.
Had to peel the little thing off the back. Stick.
I did see a little Illinois fun fact, though.
What's that?
Elm Street was named after Elm Street in Wheaton, Illinois.
Oh, really?
Where Wes Craven went to college.
I thought it was more like every suburb has an Elm Street.
We had an Elm in West Liberty, but yeah, it was Wheaton.
It all comes back to Illinois.
It all comes back to Illinois.
Jumping back to the scene where Nancy falls asleep in class and then just runs out and nobody stops her. Did you notice that the teacher?
Yeah.
Is Lin Shaye from like The Conjuring,
Kingpin,
and Insidious?
Oh, I was going Kingpin too.
And I was sticking with the horror genre.
Something about Mary.
Yeah, no.
I was sticking with the horror genre. I was like, I know her.
Comedy.
That scared me too. Loose there.
It's the best line. Kingpin's so good, so underappreciated.
So the the deaths that I like, or the murders that I like the most, are the ones where you almost can't tell if it's Freddy or if it's them doing it to themselves in a dream. So that's what I liked about the remake too. Like the opening scene, I thought was so good because he's fighting with himself and then he stabs himself in the neck.
Yeah,
right. Where you know that could be a crazy kid. It doesn't necessarily have to be Freddy. So like you could interpret it as
and he's presented just, as such. Like
right.
for not knowing you
because
see
they all have repressed
Kellen Lutz out here with this like you know looks like he's been awake for days.
Right.
Looks like he's probably on drugs.
Right.
So yeah.
It presents as a suicide. Same thing with go back to the first one. What's his name in the jail cell? Right. He just has the bed sheet wrapped around him, and it looks like he just committed suicide. So those, I find are interesting, and I like that about horror movies where we talked about Mike Flanagan before, who does all those Hill House and Bly Manor shows on Netflix. He does a very good job of making you believe that it could be just all in everyone's head, or you could interpret it as there are actual monsters. And I think that's a cool way to do it. Obviously, these movies they wake up with. Or the Johnny Depp scene is the iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Like that clearly is not a suicide. Like that clearly is a murder. And I mean, what did you guys think of that scene? We got to talk about that because that's probably the most iconic one, right?
Yeah, for sure. But it's just like it's one of those scenes where it's like, all right, this isn't a dream because his mom is watching it happen. But how is this possible in the physical world?
Right.
Like I understand the stuff like when it happens in the dream, there's literally no rules. But when his mom's watching blood just pour out of his bed up at the ceiling, how is that, you know?
Yeah, how do they
clearly
how do they
they're
explain it?
Yeah,
what did he do?
Yeah, there are essentially no rules that they're following to a T here.
Right,
so
right.
And yeah.
Which is just part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
Like you're gonna get the creative ways that they've come up with to kind of kill people and or you know, convey all the death. And blood, like I said, why follow rules?
Yeah.
Really, what's the benefit of following? Like, oh, well, we can't do that. You know, it's like, where do you draw that line when you're talking about someone who, at his leisure, can walk through doors?
But only in the dream world.
On his choice. Yeah, I don't know. Just so we don't forget, Tom, you did mention you almost brought some...
Some props. So obviously I'm a big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. So I have a prop Freddy glove, you know, metal.
I did hear
the
original went missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have one signed by Robert Englund that I have behind my desk. I also have, I mean, I'll mention it again next week when we do Friday the 13th, but I have a Jason mask prop signed by almost everybody that has played Jason
Kane Hodder
over the years. Yep.
Nice.
Kane Hodder and like...
Who?
Ari Lehrman.
Who hasn't signed it?
Wes Craven?
Well, I don't know. You're the one that said almost everyone. I assume.
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah,
like
no.
12.
There's a bunch. Like, Kane Hodder's the most famous because he's done... famous series of them.
I knew his name.
Yeah, he's done a series of them, but they're like in the earlier ones, there's a bunch of different people and stuntmen and stuff that played him at times. So
whoever was walking by on set.
Yeah,
right. Hey, you look big and scary. Put on this hockey mask.
Yep.
Did you guys recognize the doctor at the sleep clinic in the 84?
Yeah, but I don't know from what.
Oh, so it's the actor is Charles Fleischer.
Okay.
I feel like I did too, but I don't know if I can.
Most famously known for his voice as Roger Rabbit.
Oh, really?
But I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's also an actor, but...
I was going to say, that he wasn't going to be the voice.
Yeah, but I just know from watching that movie over and over again, like, what he looks like.
Yeah.
But, so when I saw the 2010 version, more of the suspenseful stuff that I like if I'm going to watch a horror film, I'd like the suspense.
Yep.
Not so much of the gore. I think this one did a really good job of doing that. I think it also had the why explained, and you're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Yeah.
Like,
so I was more invested in the new one.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say probably from our history, newer does seem to hold my attention better.
Yeah.
And this one definitely did. I've since read a little bit of why I think the horror... fans don't think highly of this movie.
I was just going to ask because I don't understand. I watched this one and same thing. Me being loving the first movie, I thought they expanded it, did a great job of paying some homage to the first one. Right? They had the body bag thing.
I think that was part of the problem.
You do?
That was part of the complaints I read.
But they didn't.
But I didn't view it as a negative. And I was like, oh, I'm just not the right audience. But that's what I read. A lot of people are like, oh, it's just ripping off the original. I'm like that's not how I interpreted it. Yeah. I interpreted it as like, we're not going to make a shot-for-shot remake.
Right.
But we're definitely going to pull a lot from it so that people that know Freddy like this movie.
I was baffled by the low ratings on this movie.
From
audience scores and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I get where you guys are coming from, but I just feel that, you know, they took probably almost all of the big scenes in the original, the stairs they reimagined as like the blood in the hallway in the new one,
looked good.
The blood in the hallway looked good, yes, but then she just drops down and then like into the bed, and that's like the homage
to the Johnny Depp scene,
But I didn't think that worked very well. And then the scene, I think she's Chris in the remake.
I thought she did great too. Better than Tina.
See, I think
she's got a good scream.
Oh, yeah. No,
in class. Yeah.
I was like, that was believable.
Agreed.
I don't disagree that the acting in some of those scenes was better in the new one. But I just feel like the brutality and like the rawness of the original one, because it was all. Visual, no CGI or whatever with the effects. And so, you know, they used a spinning room to get
bouncing
the effect
her off
where
there.
She, yeah.
Just like they did in Jamiroquai.
In Inception. And
the
music video.
Music video, yeah.
I don't think Jamiroquai flipped upside down, though, did it? I don't think he walked on the walls.
I think he did.
Yeah, I think there was no stopping him.
I just remember him scooting around the floor and the walls moving. But so, like, so I just didn't think that those held up to what I remembered as the original, from the original. And it could be that nostalgia factor, as you guys always talk about, that I just have a fond place, you know, for the original and how the scenes were in that. I just thought if they were going to redo those scenes, make them bigger. Like, do something bigger or at least... a little different. I mean, the blood and
I feel like they kind of.
I don't know.
I think you're like.
But
like
that's
Brady's
essentially what I didn't.
Yeah,
care
what
about
you're
it.
Saying is what the world seems to think about this movie. I guess so. I'm maybe the outlier in that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a better.
I thought both of you were
love...
not going to like it just because I was reading that like it's not well received by people in the horror community.
I also didn't like the look of Freddy that much in 2010.
See, thought,
and the
so
way
Jackie Earle Haley, I thought he great casting.
No, yeah. I think he was
his
great.
I know you're talking about
so
it's like creepy. The pulled face vibe to him.
And I get what they were going for, more of a realistic
burn
victim
right.
as opposed to a guy with like pizza slathered on his face. but I and the way that, you know, they obviously tried to make Freddy more of like realistic meat. Like, I can't think of like the word, but he was like more sinister and like, yeah,
he wasn't the oogie boogie man,
right? Like, exactly. He wasn't the first one. In 84, he's a little more comical, and right, he gets ridiculously comical as the,
like, he
series
slices
goes
open
on,
and the maggots come out and the snakes,
yeah,
and whatever.
And he's like, oh, look at me, and, you know, he chops his finger off and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
True.
So he's got a little more humor to him in the first one, and they just tried to make it way
just a child molester,
dark,
yeah,
and serious, and maybe, yeah, that's, you know, where it was.
Oh,
like,
I literally typed it like, oh, I'm a lot more invested in this one. And then, like, 10 minutes later, they revealed that he was actually full on, like,
yeah,
molested those. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, they really got to the edge of that line.
Yeah. No, so maybe that's, like, also what I didn't like. It's like,
but I think I've seen enough movies now with that as the storyline that I,
yeah,
that's not, I don't want to undersell. It's not shocking, right? But they, I don't know. I genuinely thought this wasn't actually that bad of a movie.
Yeah.
And I thought 1984 version pretty much wasn't very yeah, good. So, but yeah, so I expected Martin and Redding both to kind of feel the way Redding does. So, Martin, I'm almost pleasantly surprised that
yeah,
you...
Yeah, no, I enjoyed yeah, it. Cause it's because I generally don't like remakes at all, because I think there's most of them are just stupid and don't add anything.
Yeah.
Like, this one added something. It paid, it like I said, it paid a lot of respect
Michael
to where
Bay,
it came
baby,
from.
I was going to say.
What do you mean, Michael
Bay? Michael Bay
produced
it.
Oh, he
Platinum
did?
Dunes, right?
Or one of them. One of the producers.
Yeah.
And they did not produce a horror movie after this.
Yeah, no, this is like wrecked.
Yeah, Platinum Dunes
I don't
wouldn't
get it,
do another
it was
horror
so
movie,
weird. And then the dude, the director, said he turned down the offer to direct twice. He previously turned down other Platinum Dunes films, including the Amityville Horror and Friday the 13th in 2009. Hmm. And he relented after receiving a long email from Michael Bay, who said that doing the film would really open up his career opportunities. As of 2021, he had not directed another movie.
Yeah.
But wow. I mean, well, 2020, that's 11 years after Nightmare came out. So he still worked.
He didn't.
Did he? No, he didn't.
Oh,
he did not.
As of
2020. As of 20, he hadn't directed another one after yeah, Nightmare.
He had not directed another movie. So,
okay. So 11 so years out of work as a director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not right, good.
That sucks.
But fun fact.
I would have been like, if I was making that movie, I would have been proud of myself, like, coming up with this stuff. And
I mean, a sequel based on the box office and everything, a sequel was greenlit.
Rooney
and
Jackie Earle Haley had both committed to multiple movies.
Yeah.
But it was just so poorly received that they... but real quick on the director, he directed Garbage's Only Happy When It Rains video.
Okay.
Blind Melon's No Rain.
Okay.
And
give me another rain.
A non-rain yeah, song.
not sure rain, how, I'm not sure how...
Nirvana smells like Teen Spirit.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So... Those are under his chaps. Unfortunately, his career ended after this movie.
He's got to be pissed off somewhere that this didn't do well.
Michael Bay.
Can I tell you what did him in? It was that swim team scene. That swim team scene was all wrong. Completely wrong.
You keep saying it right, but you're coming close to not saying it right.
The swim team scene, which is just wrong. Because, first of all, you don't have people just sitting on the side in warm-up suits, like, watching everybody else do their swim
set.
The
ladies' team was over there.
Guys standing at the back of the wall, too. Like, everybody's in the water in swim team practice.
What are you saying? What was wrong with
them? They were swimming laps. You can't get in there.
Everybody, you're constantly swimming.
There's only 12 lanes.
Right, and you have, like, four people do a lane. You guys never been on a swim team?
No.
I don't get
like
what you're saying was wrong
general,
about it. I thought it was kind of creepy how he fell asleep in the water and then woke up in this.
No, I'm just
weird,
saying the whole swim part
did
is all wrong.
Asleep, right?
Yeah. Well,
he was to the point in the process where he didn't have to fall asleep.
It was
anymore.
A micro nap.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe. That's how I understood. Because I was like, what? This dude really fell asleep while swimming? And then I was like, oh, I think he's further. He's in that process that they talked about where it's not falling asleep anymore. He doesn't even have to.
Yeah.
He just
I thought he did because
out.
He was drowned. Right. They were waking him back up. They had to give him mouth to mouth to resuscitate him.
That happens when you were. Have drowned.
That's what I'm saying. So I think he fell asleep and was drowning.
Okay.
Or Freddy was getting him.
What about, so I don't know why it stuck with me so much, but after in that scene, after they resuscitate him and he wakes up and like the whole team is standing around, the coach is like standing over him, the coach just looks at him and he's like, "You okay?"
Yeah, like, no concern whatsoever. For a
like,
dude, you
the
just
most
had to
monotone reading of that line ever, and then it just cuts to the next.
Yeah,
like, oh, all right.
There is no trauma on Elm Street. No, no one shows any signs of anything. It's crazy. I liked the fast. I liked the way they tied in the other kids who were in the other parts of the country. Like she's looking that stuff up and finding people who have died. Yeah. You know, in accidents or whatever, the dude who had the video blog. I just thought that was all pretty
was
well done.
And yeah, I agree.
Little shades of Final Destination, but.
The other little facet that I saw was that Rooney Mara hated being in this movie so much that she almost quit acting.
Oh, wow.
She said it was not a good experience, but it helped her be careful when picking future roles. And she auditioned for The Social Network shortly after, which changed her entire perspective.
I was going to say, I thought she...
Success.
She's way... I mean,
I
not
was
only much better than Heather Langenkamp, but I thought, she did a really, really good job.
Agreed.
Yeah. I didn't always really find her to be that great of an actress, but I thought she was great in this.
I think she's limited, would be my...
Yeah.
I think if you look at, you know, she could play a certain facet of person. Mm-hmm. Dark and...
possibly
I don't
want to
say
tattoos.
Mysterious, but...
Posse with Dragon Tattoo.
But I said that about, like, you know, he never had these anyone you know. And then as this one was starting, I was like, oh, Kellan Lutz. I know who that is. Yep. I'm like, oh, Rooney Mara. I was like, oh, Connie Britton. I'm like,
who's Kellan Lutz, though?
The first dude.
Yeah, I know, but what do you know him from? You mentioned it before, and I looked it up. But
what
would I?
No.
Twilight.
Twilight.
No, I didn't see those, though.
I saw them.
You did, Brady.
You did.
You're a Twilight fan.
Did I guess Twilight right the other day in the grid? Yes, I did. And did I know that your girl was even in that? No, that was just a complete guess.
Yeah,
Anna Kendrick.
She's in all of them, actually.
I didn't know that either. I promise you I have not seen these movies.
Did you guys recognize Chris?
She looked familiar, but I don't know.
All right, so it's the actress Kate Cassidy. She was the older daughter in Click. When he fast forwards all the way to the end, was the one that was getting married.
I remember her now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very attractive. And like you said, that scream was perfect.
Perfect. I thought she was really
good. Couldn't
really
have
good
done that scream better. And then obviously his dad.
Yeah.
Dude's
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Connie Britton.
Yeah, I said.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. We mentioned Connie Britton.
Coach's wife was definitely.
Love Connie.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see people I actually had heard of. But yeah, and then I legitimately thought this was pretty
decent.
But
the only thing I didn't like, and I really don't like about the first one too, is just the very ending. You know, the mom, the fake rubber chicken mom getting pulled through the small window in 1984. And then in the remake, just, you know, going through Connie Britton's eyeball and pulling
her in.
But it's fine.
I liked
it's a nice
him
little...
in the mirror. I liked that aspect. Yeah. I almost would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
Without, like you said.
Instead of the CG going through.
You don't need it. Because it's also so right in your face that you can't not see
so
it.
It's so obviously CG.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Look, terrible.
If they had made like a real mannequin replica of Connie Britton and went through that would have looked cooler. It just would have.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It was a practical effect instead
of
a special effect.
Yeah. And like, I think I read on IMDb in the trivia or whatever that they tried to use as little CG as possible in the remake. But I don't know. After watching it, there's like the scene where Freddy is coming out from over top of the bed.
Yeah.
And like lurking over Nancy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the worst CGI ever. Like, and
where it looked pretty good in the first one.
Yeah,
because
it was like a rubber wall that he pushes on and like it looks pretty good.
I thought,
And then, the blood when she falls, like the blood in the hallway looked fine, but when she falls through, it just looks like
you could definitely see it like
back up.
I was actually shot the blood out of the bed in the first one.
That's not gonna make me not like the movie. It pisses me off for sure.
It just
I wish they
like,
did it
when it looks so fake is when it annoys me. Like when it stands out compared to the background is what, like,
I don't know if you've ever seen
one of the Wolverine movies.
Yeah.
Camper might have just been the first like Wolverine standalone. His claws were just straight up CG the entire movie, and they looked awful. Like it was just distracting from like what's actually happening.
That's like if you go back and watch the first X-Men when his claws come out, you're just like, ooh.
when it takes you out of it, that
yes,
for sure.
And that is part of also why I didn't like.
And that's what, again, back to Evil Dead's, you know, they may not be good stories, but all those practical effects are just what real horror movie lovers just love to see.
Yeah. Where's Stan Winston when you need him?
Get Tom Savini.
I was somewhat confused on Freddy's, like, motivations of how or when he killed. Because he was seemingly fully able to kill pretty quickly.
I think he likes to play with people.
Yeah. But at times, and then it was like, I'm dead!
And then it just goes fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe he got annoyed, you know? He's just like, I'm over this one. Like,
yeah. Right, it's just like asking who the strongest Avenger is. It doesn't matter. It's whoever needs to be the strongest in that moment, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That was the only thing that kind of was bouncing around in my brain.
But... Can you explain to me why he only has one glove with the knives? Why not
Sometimes
two?
He's got to, you know, do other things
with
the other hand.
Yeah, he needs
a opposable
thumb. Yeah. He needs one opposable thumb.
He's got to be able to grab something
with the other hand. I would just... I figured if you're going to go out and kill somebody, I'm going Wolverine style. I'm going to have both hands ready. Not just one. What if somebody cuts that hand off? Now what do you do?
Well, you saw what happens. Yeah. You just waited for 10 minutes and didn't do it anyway.
The other thing after watching both of them back to back, and maybe more so 84, and I guess you kind of, you know, obviously know moving forward because there's a bunch of sequels, but like the very end is obviously a dream, like, but is the whole thing a dream? Like, where does the dream end and where does it start? Because like, Nancy drags him out and catches him on fire, and then he just disappears into the bed, you know, with burnt up mother.
Right. And the dad.
And that's the real world. That wasn't, was that
right?
A dream?
And John Saxon seems to take
that
pretty well.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, this is normal, I guess? Like, and the burnt corpse just lowers into the bed, and then
That looked kind of bad, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could tell there was a rig under there, and it was pulling her down.
I feel like they didn't really know how to end it.
The cut to the full, like, made bed and everything, that was a good transition there. Yep. But, yeah, and then it's like, oh, no, all I have to do is just turn around and not look at Freddy, and he dies.
That was consistent with what
they said before. Yeah, like, you know,
Johnny Depp says on the bridge.
Right, like, if you don't acknowledge him or whatever, he loses his power and blah, blah, blah. But then she opens the door and is like, oh, now everything's bright and sunny and she's outside. And clearly that's still a dream
because
they get in the car and, you know, he's got the Freddy sweater.
It looks
convertible.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah, and then the mom gets sucked through the window or the rubber mannequin. But, and then in the same thing, I guess, in the 2010 remake, like the very end, you know, Freddy comes out of the mirror and takes out Connie Britton. But it's like, where does the dream end and, like, is the real world?
If you take it as a standalone movie, right, and don't take into account the sequels,
right,
what is your interpretation? Do you think that Nancy and everyone is dead in the dreams?
Yeah.
Or do you think she actually survives?
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
I
don't have an answer.
I need to
I've
see
been thinking
the
about
top.
It.
See if the top falls over after it stops as it's spinning. Oh, right.
I would think about it for 30
ring.
Years and I don't have an answer.
You gotta look at the wedding ring.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I haven't watched two in a while.
It's not that great.
But Nancy's not in it at all, right? Yeah.
No.
So it follows that other guy. Who is like
that's why I think it failed,
turning
that
into
guy,
Freddy or like birthing Freddy or something.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense, they changed a female lead to a male lead, which they realize is bad, so they go back to more female leads in 3, 4, and 5. I think 3, 4, and 5 are really solid 80s
3 is
horror
one of my
movies
favorite.
That are just, you know, expand the lore of Freddy, but are just really fun ways that Freddy is having fun and toying with these people. More of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where he's just doing inventive ways to kill people.
Yeah, he gets more ridiculous. Yeah. And the kills get more ridiculous. And, I mean, I think, you know, you could say the same thing. Like, the Saw movies, it's the same thing. Like, you get to a point and it's like, oh, all right, let's just...
Yeah.
There's no way this cancer-ridden patient and his apprentices or whatever could build these crazy contraptions without anybody knowing and... Yeah, but you got to kind of, you know, suspend your belief,
people love
obviously.
Those movies. I mean, they're on Saw X.
Yeah,
Saw 10.
I've seen almost all of them.
I can't believe you haven't seen all of them.
No, I was going to say in the theaters at midnight.
Okay.
Like,
see, I kind of
except for the first one.
I kind of want to do that. I kind of want to go to a theater. Because there is something about seeing horror movies in the theater.
Yeah. With a bunch of people screaming.
Yeah, you know, there's no like reason the other reactions from people, and as long as they're just not talking.
Most of my movie theater encounters with other people's reactions, I prefer not to have.
Brady hates it. Every time I tell him I was laughing out loud, he's like, oh, God, you're that person.
Well,
if you have something funny and you laugh, that's fine. But there's just too many people who laugh at nonsensical shit. And if you ever clap at the end of the movie, you should deserve what's coming to you.
Well, I just remember when we saw, was it Fate of the Furious in the theater? And you had like that entire family sitting behind you and they were like sure standing did. Up.
Oh, like, it was like people were hitting my head. It
yeah.
was just. Oh, act like you've been there before. What are you going to do?
So I guess these have a place. So you horror fans can keep them. I'm out. Except for next week when we watch Friday the 13th.
And then the next week when we watch other ones.
Did you find anything endearing about the second one then?
The second one was the better.
Yeah, sorry, the remake. Sorry.
Yes, okay, just so the remake was the better one.
Because I definitely thought that as well. And when I read the comments, I was like, oh. Like I said, it really caught me off guard. But I was like, I also kind of could get there because I just feel like I'm not these two.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not looking at it like they are and clearly, because I just took it as kind of its own movie, a day removed from watching the original, which I was like, I could recognize all the things they were pulling or homaging.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I didn't see that as a negative. So,
yeah. I didn't either. I thought it was.
I definitely thought the first one was just not enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the second one, the remake in 2010, I definitely thought that was okay. So. Because I almost like the horror movie.
Wait till next week.
I mean, Freddy is just an enduring character, right? I mean, I remember as a kid, too, I wanted Freddy versus Jason. And they actually made that movie.
They did.
You know, it's like that kind of stuff it's the stuff that kids' dreams are made of, honestly.
Well, and I think a lot of those, because I didn't have that same, and obviously we're, you know, in our 40s now, but like I didn't feel those same enduring qualities with the remake that I did with the 84 one, we were a lot younger. But I think Robert Englund
brought
that out more so in the Freddy character and wasn't as dark and sinister and like, you know, molesting these children.
Right.
Like Freddy was in the 2010 version. And obviously, if you haven't seen any of the sequels where he does get to be almost a cartoon character of himself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally a scene where they jump into a comic book and everything's like cartoony. So, great.
Someday, Jelani, we'll get there.
Eventually.
Yeah, just go watch 3, 4, and 5, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Extra
credit.
I'm surprised you didn't want to do Freddy versus Jason since we are doing Friday the 13th next week.
Maybe. But then these guys would kill us because I don't think that one's that good.
I don't either.
It disappointed me.
Yeah. I think it disappointed everybody at the time.
Sounds like a great place to not. Good thing
these are, you know,
don't not watch iconic, a movie because of us. I'll watch what you tell me to here.
Yeah, but. And I don't think these are disappointing at all.
I mean, like,
understand it. At least you could kind of I think it's important to understand. Mm-hmm. The influence, like I mentioned, and then just have a foundation for Freddy before we dive into other stuff. But maybe we'll revisit. We'll make these guys go back.
Yeah. I mean, I am very, I'm excited for next week. I love the Friday the 13th movies also, but from the original Friday the 13th to what they did in the remake, there's a lot of differences.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one big one.
Just wait.
Yep.
Yeah, so, save it for the podcast.
He's like bursting.
I am.
We'll do the comparative lit for next week too.
Yeah.
But the new and old and new comparison. So we'll do that again next week.
Do Texas Chainsaw.
We were
good call.
I liked the 2003 remake.
I thought that was okay too.
With Jessica Biel.
Sure.
Have you guys not seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre either?
Save it for the pod.
This is the pod. What? We're not doing Texas Chainsaw.
We're not doing that. So.
I haven't seen them.
You haven't
Maybe
seen
next year. Yeah, okay. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got another one. As always, make sure you follow, like, and subscribe at Our Film Fathers on all socials. Thanks. And whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
But go to bed.